Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. You thought about getting your own fucking house.
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
My only joy is a cuddly toy, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's the North London Derby, and Moyes is off to Old Trafford. It's Friday, 12th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushan Andraja.
Got a feel for me, ladies and gentlemen. How the devil are you all? Good.
What's the name of that guy who sang that song?
Rochford,
that's it, yeah.
Come on.
It was at the start of the Alan Partridge movie.
I saw it the other night. Alpha Papa was on the telly.
Very nice.
Oh, it was indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Was indeed. Talking of Alpha Papas, I'm so grateful to those who tweet me this kind of stuff.
Can I, before you say, can you, people who did tweet him this stuff, can you stop tweeting him this stuff?
No, keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Do more of them, if anything.
I think that, you know, for this kind of stuff, I have a bottomless well. Mm. Because, ladies and gentlemen, apparently Sven wants the Aberdeen job.
Not even tried to Trojan horse it into the show, started the show.
No. And could I phrase this another way that perhaps is more realistic? Sven-Göran Eriksson has never visited Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Has he?
Oh, dear. I've no idea. The Granite City. Granite.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He's not going.
No, yeah. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Do you not think?
I think at some point a club should call his bluff and see how much he wants to do work. Because I think the answer is not very much.
Yeah, he's very much... He's been an international manager for a long time now, let's be honest. Yeah. Like when he got the Philippines job, that is a lovely one for Sven. That's exactly what he's after. Yeah. But he wants to get in there. And apparently he would welcome the chance to try and challenge Rangers and Celtic.
I mean, he can just say anything, can't he?
Yeah.
I mean...
Apparently, Vish, the Philippines is the epitome of a lovely old job for Sven, according to Sven expert Marcus Buller. 10 games he did. 10 games in about 3 months.
He got them into a competition, I think.
Won two of them.
Yeah.
Won two of them.
Yeah, you see, it was groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. They should call his bluff.
Yeah.
Look, no, come up for an interview then.
Yeah.
Get to Waverley Station in Edinburgh and then go 4 more fucking hours.
Yeah. It's not quite the end of the world, Sven, but you can see it from there.
Big time.
And to be fair, though, the last time someone did call his bluff, it was Notts County, and that went quite badly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
And it wasn't a management role, I don't think.
No, it wasn't.
It was more of just hang around the players.
But I think he left with that. He just
helped himself to a Volavon.
Yeah, well, because he said, oh, don't worry about my fee. I've got loads. I'll fleece someone else in a minute, don't worry.
To be honest, I've got so much money, I wouldn't be able to tell if the money's growing or not.
I think there's a place in Sweden where he's burying it, like Andres Escobar, the other one, Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what he's doing.
Do you think Sven's so rich he spends $10,000 a month on just elastic bands?
Actually, he did lose a lot of money, actually. Hmm. So he needs to gain some of it back. Let's hope he gets it. I speak on behalf of us all when I say he wants...
we interviewed him on the show and he was a lovely fella, to be fair.
Yeah.
He was a nice chap.
Lovely chap.
You don't have to defend him to me. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Here with Craigie Brown with a little word in his ear.
Of course, he's very, very close to the Man United job, wasn't he, as well?
Well, Craig Brown.
Yeah. Maybe. what little words would Craigie Brown put in his ear?
Oh,
he might have done the greatest hits while he's here. Yeah. I mean, listen, we're here now.
Yeah, go on. Give us satisfaction. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, dear. And what about Neil Warnock being there as well? Right, Sven, let's have a nothing result. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yes, fingers and toes crossed for that. Last night there was some Europa League action. Manchester United drew 1-1 with Milan. It was a shame, Vish, that they conceded late on. But all to play for in the next leg, wouldn't you say?
I thought United would win that because AC Milan had so many players missing, but they decided not to, and that's fine. Their decisions.
Yeah.
It was the least that Milan deserved, though. They were all over United.
They were
at
good, weren't
stages
they?
Of that game.
Well, people forget they're going for the title. I mean, I know Conte's Inter look the more likely now, but Milan are having a bloody good season.
They are, yeah. So when they had those spate of injuries, you know, obviously. Was Latin we mentioned yesterday on the show. Mm-hmm. I did think, right, they just get it sorted as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And they decided not to, and that's fine. It's like their own,
I don't think you can play Milan and go, let's get it sorted as quickly as possible.
Well, they had so many players out, though. I was, you know, Kessié yesterday was brilliant. But
he was. Shame that first goal was disallowed.
I know, I mean, that annoyed me, to be honest. Tim Stillman on Twitter put it in a great way. The handball rule was brought in so that people wouldn't pick up the ball and run with it. Yeah. And it barely grazes his hand as just before he volleys it in. I think
that law is changing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is, yeah.
Like I say, Fulham get relegated. The one consolation is they're in the Championship where they're safe from VAR.
Yeah. Well, for now.
For now, mate. We'll have to go down to League One, then.
I wouldn't put it beyond the football authorities to actively bankrupt several Football League clubs. By making them put VAR in.
Yeah.
That could happen.
That will happen.
Nothing is off the table. Is there any merit in arguing? I mean, Vish, you're the big Man United expert here, but they'll be fairly comfortable with that, though, because they're such a good away team, Man United. Obviously, they don't want to concede an away goal, but United are brilliant away from home.
Oh, yeah, their style of play is conducive to playing away 100%, from home. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I don't think they'll be too worried, but it is just a little bit of, you know, they could have... You know, I suppose it's stupid to say they could have played better. Everyone could play better.
They did miss a couple of big chances. I mean, Maguire shinning that one onto the post, and there was one or two others as well. But it was good for Diallo. Lovely first goal for him for Manchester United.
Lovely run.
Yeah. He's one of those players. He's very kind of like a modern era wunderkind in that. Well, he only played, I think, 4 games for Atalanta. But,
something like that.
I mean, there were hours and hours of highlight reel clips from him from their age group level and the excitement that he when he signed for United. United was huge. I don't think Solskjaer, like managers now, are asked so many more questions about kids who've barely played first team football because there's so much information readily available.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see a lot of scouts on Twitter talking about him and his progression through the age groups. And there was a lot of excitement around him. And and you know, the fact that he's scored a goal so quickly, and we've seen flashes of him for the under 23s as well. He looks a very exciting player. It was a very Chicharito header, wasn't it?
It was. That's a great
cheeky little backflip.
Yeah.
A lovely, lovely ball from Fernandes, and as you said, yeah, brilliant run.
We found that little pocket of space where the defensive line was at a certain point, probably too far away for the keeper to mop up, and the ball was on the Jensen, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was able to head it in. But I found it interesting how sort of threadbare United seem on after their first 11, given the amount of money they spend, given the amount they spend on transfers. They always seem to be active in the transfer market.
Mm.
Yet if you look at some of the players that once you scratch beneath the surface at United, it's nowhere near up there with the top teams, is it?
No, no, not at all.
I mean, it's kind of weird because you don't ever think of them as not really buying players.
Mm, I know what you mean.
I mean, that's why I've been constantly encouraging Bruno Fernandes to join a union, because if he's not working, everyone's screwed.
Yeah.
And so he's been run into the ground a little bit. And it's why Solskjaer, a lot in training, has spoken about wanting to make United physically robust. And basically what he means by that is getting those first 11 players as fit as possible so he doesn't have to use the others.
Yeah, because if you look at one point last night, the 11, you've got players like Daniel James in there. Is he good enough? Probably not. Mason Greenwood's early for him, got a lot of talent, but that's probably what it is at the moment. Matic's best years are behind him.
Yeah.
You wonder what about Bailly. The players that come off the bench like Ahmed Diallo, who's an amazing prospect, but he's a prospect. You've got Brandon Williams, again, talented young player. And so it's kind of interesting when you compare that to, maybe you can't compare anyone to Man City, but Man City seem just to have so many, so much depth and so many options. And it just feels strange because you can't point the finger and say, well, they haven't bought a player for 3 years.
Yeah.
That's not the case, is it?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, anyway. West Ham this weekend, isn't it?
Well, it is West Ham, the David Moyes derby, of course. And Moyes himself is surely looking forward to this one, because Manchester United, it's at Old Trafford. West Ham have been going very, very well. And if Moyes was, you know, disappointed when they beat... who was it the other...
Leeds.
When they beat Leeds, yeah. He seemed a bit gutted that they'd only sort of won 2-0 and not too gone on their performance. I mean, it sort of bodes well. Although, is he sort of craving disappointment, do you think?
Well, they've got a game in hand. If they win, they'll be back in the top four.
Yeah.
What's he going to say then?
Well, I've no idea.
Do you think if he works really hard, he might get the Man United job? And I think this is a good chance for him to audition for it.
Well, I tell you who has left Old Trafford but will return. You talk about Man United maybe needing a few players and whatnot. It's Jaylings. Sadly, he's ineligible for this one. And it is particularly sad because Aaron Wan-Bissaka said this week that the toughest winger he's ever faced is Neymar. So Jaylings won't be able to try and overhaul that.
Yeah.
Because they've enacted the Loire Loire rule on this one.
Yeah, so he was able to hurt them.
Yeah. That was all that, yeah. All those
he's never played for United anyway. I mean, I was just a little bit rich not letting him play against them.
Yeah, maybe
the only chance he's going to have to get on the pitch at Old Trafford is being taken from him.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, West Ham would be a bit suspicious, wouldn't they, if they were like, no, he can play against us. I'm like, why? Well, we don't want him then.
I should say that there are, talking about Manchester United and their finances, so, and just in reports this morning that Mr. Glazer is selling 5 million of his shares at Manchester United for over £70 million. Man United won't
get a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, they won't get any of the proceeds.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
It's good business, that. Yeah. It's just smart business. Yeah.
Who does get the proceeds?
Eric Cantona.
Does it go to the Euro Millions?
Yeah, it does, yeah. It could be you, but not if you're at Man United.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's fucking nonsense, isn't it? Someone coming over like, I can get 100 quid for your arm. Oh, brilliant. You'll not see a penny of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You'd be without an arm, but fuck me.
You'd be happy for those who did get it.
Yeah. No, I think it's all going directly to Bruno Fernandes to convince him to stay.
Yeah, indeed.
I think it's a big game, and I think David Moyes could have a little smile on his face at the end of it. Because he likes disappointment, presumably. And if they win, he probably be
It's a win-win for him.
Yeah.
Every game's a win-win for him. If he loses, he's happy. If he wins, he gets to keep his job. It's great.
West Ham prefer playing without the ball. Manchester United prefer playing with as little of the ball as possible.
Yeah.
It could just stay on the centre circle.
Uh-huh. So you're saying don't watch this one then?
Jousting. No, I said that before, and it was, and there was a blinder that played out a few weeks ago. So I would say keep one eye on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's interminable, yeah.
Well, Declan Rice has been studying videos of Yaya Toure, and he said, I want to show people that I can be exciting, so maybe he will step up and he'll grab that ball that you speak of and thrust it
forward. I mean, he won't, will he? I mean, like, I could watch videos of Yaya Toure.
He won't, will he?
Oh, there we go.
Well, let's see what happens then.
I don't think you're as physically impressive as Declan Rice.
I think that's fair.
Go on, hit him.
Show me how physically impressive you are by punching me in the face.
I think that's fair, but I mean, it doesn't really work like that, does it?
You are disrespecting Luke's mate, Declan Rice, though.
Is he your mate?
No. I interviewed him once.
Yeah.
He was nice.
Oh, yeah. Is this like Clint Hill?
Yeah, he's a new Clint Hill. He's a new Clint Hill. Okay. Yeah, he's a new Clint Hill. Yeah.
How is Clint?
Is he left you yet?
I kind of lost touch a bit with Clint because Marcus and Pete and Jim kept badgering me to message him with ideas for shows.
Are we actually going to talk about this?
That he didn't want to do. And we can't talk about any of them on the show today.
That is a shame. Because some of those ideas.
Why won't you just message him? Just he might want to do it. It's like, he's not going to want to do it. It's going to ruin his career.
Those ideas could have caused him physical harm.
So what we're looking at here is it another player that I would claim to be friends with who won't remember who I am? Yes,
maybe.
Right,
yeah. Maybe.
But he's had a brilliant season, Declan Rice.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Impressive.
Gentlemen, I'd like to move on to the North London clubs. Both won in the Europa League last night, of course. Impressive from Spurs, 2-0. That's a good bit of work there. No away goals conceded. Harry Kane ran the show. Dinamo boss Zoran Mamic called him a master of football.
Yeah, it must be frustrating if you're managing an upwardly mobile, kind of but unfashionable team who's getting towards the stages where the Europa League starts to hot up, and it is becoming really interesting. That happens every year. Like, it's so boring for the first 6 months, and then it starts to get interesting. It must be frustrating to have to come up against a player like Harry Kane, who is, you know, obviously a world-class player, a handful of the best strikers in the world. There's not really much you can do. But having said that, the first goal was fortunate for Kane. Nice positioning. You know,
lovely work from Lamella.
It was fantastic work from Lamella, but it seems to happen with top strikers. Wherever they are, the ball just seems to come to them, right?
Absolutely right.
And that's what happened with him. The second goal was brilliant. It was just, give him half a yard, Kane, and he will just totally punish
him. Shame for the defender going through his legs, but no, I know what you're saying.
Makes it hard for the keeper as well, doesn't it?
It was. He had an ice pack on his knee when he was taken off, but Marina said, I don't have the feeling it is anything serious.
I mean, his leg could be off and they'd still play him in the North London derby.
Let's be honest.
I think they'd be contractually obliged to play him.
A great win for Arsenal, though.
It was a great win, but they still did some hapless stuff.
They did.
I was happy with that.
But they recovered, though. I mean, two great goals. Gabriel's header.
Yeah, lovely.
Gorgeous
header.
But there's two incidents where Arsenal fans will be rolling their eyes about, aren't there? One is the ball from Leno into Ceballos.
Yes.
Which he got a lot of stick for that. There's not really much he could do.
Mm. Yeah.
But Leno had so many options.
Yeah.
Puts it in, and they get in trouble. And there was one before that. And if you guys saw it, David Luiz got caught out massively. Mm-hmm. And the guy shanked the shot wide.
When he had a man free in the middle to square it to. As well,
it's crazy.
It is crazy, yeah. Although Arteta,
great stuff for the Spurs game, though.
Could be
lots of enjoyable stuff going on.
Well, that's true, yeah. But I mean, Arteta, he got them the win. And, you know, 3-1 away from home in the first leg. You know, don't want to jinx anything. Not that that's anything to go on. But it puts them in a very, very good position, of course, for that second leg. And interestingly, Olympiacos's Bruma, he was saying that Socrates told us Arsenal secrets, but I won't tell you any of them.
Right.
Well, maybe he told them the wrong secrets.
It's the worst story ever.
Yeah, he just basically said, "Oh yeah, we're a bit dodgy when we try and play out from the back." It's like, well, we know that, don't we?
Do you think Socrates was there, being like, right, they've got this one clown at the back, and he's looking for him, like, oh shit, it's me. Yeah, it is me.
We mentioned Messi's goal when he scored against PSG, and you said, "What did you say?" He ragdolled it, the keeper, or something.
Yeah.
Talk us through Odegaard's goal.
It was like a tribute to it. It's like, Odegaard said, I want to do a bit of that.
Fish was angry about this.
Jose Sarr, what the fuck is he playing at? He fully turned around in that save to see the ball nestling in the back of the net.
Well, he sort of did a thing, because Dean Henderson would have been a bit disappointed with that Milan.
I mean, that was terrible, actually.
But it's that kind save. Of, they're trying to sort of swat the ball away, you know, away from danger, rather than pushing over the bar. See, for me, a goalkeeper, you always think, tip it over the bar. But that is, they're trying to bat it away. And both of those were when the goalkeeper came unstuck, because it just...
The Odegaard one moved a lot.
It did. It's easier said than done.
I can't believe what the commentator was saying the first time he saw it. He's like, oh, it's just straight as an arrow.
No.
It moved all over the place.
It did move all over the place. Yeah.
No, I thought he should have done better.
The keeper saved it.
Yeah.
It was a tribute goal to Messi's goal. It was like
a little bit.
It was a Europa League version of that Champions League.
Yeah, it was exactly.
Yeah, that's nice. I think we've summed it up very, very well.
But the thing is, going back to the Socrates stuff about Arsenal secrets. Arsenal don't have any secrets.
No.
Everyone knows what goes wrong with them. You can see it every time.
Is he acting like Matt Letizia's brother?
God, I don't remember that.
Do you remember that when Letizia was finally given a chance in the England team by Hoddle when they played Italy at home in a World Cup qualifier, which they lost 1-0 to a Gianfranco Zola goal? Although they still advanced, though, when they got that 0-0 in...
It's a level of knowledge you're talking
about. Rome, was it? I think
the 0-0 in Rome, the Ian Wright game.
That's right, yeah.
Vieri puts a header wide at the last minute, didn't he?
That's right, people forget that. Oh my goodness, heart in mouth. But the home game, Letizia was played finally, and Letizia's brother told like the Italian press what the game plan was and his brother was going to be playing and all this kind of stuff.
Is that because they had some idea there might have been a conspiracy theory that world football was against them or something?
Throw Glenn Hoddle into the mix, and goodness knows what was going to come out. But back to North London, Arteta, he was getting excited in the press conference on Wednesday. He said, when everything comes back to normality, this project is going to go bang!
That could be good or bad.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah. To be fair,
I mean they've been misfiring on the pitch a little bit at the back, but we want them.
Why have you said it like that?
Because it was a bit of a. Don't worry.
oh, don't you know? Yeah. Oi, noob.
I know, absolutely disgraceful. But Bukayo Saka, somebody we can all get behind. He's been named Arsenal's Player of the Month for the third time in a row, which shows you, Vish, the fantastic season he is having.
I mean, he says that, yes. Yeah. It also says the other thing, which we don't need to go into. But yeah, no, he's...
So he's showing signs of fatigue, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people like him, Kane at Spurs, Fernandes at Manchester United, they're single players doing a lot of heavy lifting among all these teams.
That's right, and he's a very young man.
All the teams have just nominated one player to get through this lockdown period. You're doing it. You pulled the short straw. You've got to do all the work.
You've got to do the shopping. You've got to make sure everything's sorted in the house.
Well, I'll tell you what, it goes to show how much strain the likes of Kane were showing, because even Bale is chipping in now and trying to help out a little bit.
Bale's been excellent. And I was actually going to say, this stage is set now. Bale's been improving time on time again, and he was fantastic last night. The scene is set here for him to do something in this North London derby. It'd be a shame if he does it in front of no fans. I mean, I don't really care if he does it or not, but I think we're getting to the point now where he's really hitting his straps, and it's a credit to Andy Brassel of this parish who said what Bale needs is to play, and the more he plays, the more he's going to get up to speed, and we're seeing exactly that happening.
Do you know, I think it's credit to Jose Mourinho, who's been playing him.
No, it's credit to Andy, because we can reflect in that glory.
Right. Yeah,
we can put it down to Andy.
I see what you mean.
I've got no ties to Jose.
No,
he's not even a friend of mine that doesn't remember who I am. I've never met him.
Yeah, well, Mourinho, his relationship with Bale is apparently so good, he's been having some lovely banter with him recently. He said, the other day during the Palace match, I found Andre Marin, the fourth official, laughing at us because he probably found my conversation with Gareth funny. We were saying, how many more? 5 minutes more? 10 minutes more? Just an example of some of the laughs they have.
Why is Mariner getting involved with that?
Unprofessional.
I'll get that as well. Oh, what am I like? Shut up.
Boys,
no, seriously, how many minutes? You are the fourth official. You should know that.
Yeah. Did you see
Put your mask back on.
Did you see Bale talking about that Heung-min Son is an honorary member of the Welsh Mafia?
The Welsh Mafia, that's
which is what that little celebration was, WM.
The Welsh Mafia.
We thought he was trying to usher back a new formation.
Yeah.
Sort of Herbert Chapman.
That'd be nice.
That would be very
nice. I don't think Gareth Bale knows what that is, even though he's a professional footballer.
Is he doing a C for Catenaccio? I don't know. but he said he's a member of the Welsh Mafia, which is made up of Bale, Davis and Rodden. So, Son's basically Welsh to us. We're a bit disappointed because all the pictures have us three and Lucas. Poor old Lucas Moura.
He's a shit, though, isn't he, Lucas Moura?
Is he?
Some of his stuff he comes out with.
You're talking about his political views.
A bit of a wrong one.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Big Bolsonaro fan.
Yeah.
Oh, God, fuck's sake. Yeah. I quite like him as well.
What, Bolsonaro?
No.
No more questions, Vish. No more questions.
But no, honestly...
Only friends with Clint Hill. Bolsonaro! The damage he's done.
Yeah, it was Leonardo DiCaprio that burnt down all those trees. Google it if you're not sure.
But honestly,
it is horrific.
Yeah. And also, if Vale's being that open about Mafia leagues, we should look into them. Shouldn't be operating above the law.
Would you like to see Bale score a hat-trick against Arsenal and do the old Welsh Mafia sign?
No, I don't think we should be encouraging throwing up of any kind of gang signs.
That's a fair point. But if he does, you would want all four members in the shot.
Yeah.
Imagine that. If it comes to that, you can imagine Gareth Bale choreographing instead of, Luke's, get out.
It's very nice that they invited Son to be a part of it. Because I can remember, you always think of football teams and the players as being like a big gang. Now, obviously, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And we saw that in its rawest form when Liverpool had that trophy presentation.
Yeah.
And Minamino didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
And he was on his own. And then Henderson had to come over and put his arm around him and get him involved.
That was nice. Yeah, and El Mohammedi turned up and started dancing in front of the camera.
yeah. Every camera.
There was a great situation.
Come along. Started giving it that one.
There was a great situation at Manchester United where... Ji-Sung Park, Carlos Tevez and Patrice Evra all became mates and they all spoke different languages to each other and were intertwined that way.
Vish, we had a lovely old time recording Ramble On yesterday, which will be out on Sunday over the Patreon. What did we get up to, Vish?
We got up to a lot of bollocks, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were showing each other our football shirts, so Finn jumped off the call.
No, I'm talking about what people
recorded, what we actually put out, right. Yeah, so we did our...
Fantasy
season tickets, yeah. So I took a little bit from Luke's one, which was very good. Mm-hmm. I took a little bit from Pete's one as well, a bit of time travelling.
Do your own work. Marcus, are you putting up with this? You're supposed to be anchoring this show. You're letting them get away with that.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I had a lovely old time because I got to reminisce about... things that I should have done when I was younger, basically.
That's true.
That's not really reminiscing, is it?
No.
it was a lot of regret in the
podcast. There was a lot of regret. Quite a sad episode.
Indeed,
some joy at the end.
Yeah. So definitely get your ears around that.
How can I do that? Patreon.com/footballramble.
Sounds about right to me, pal.
Get involved.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
There he is again.
Good Scottish accent.
Very good, very good. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Right, ladies and gentlemen, time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Stuck in my brain, that.
Yeah.
Obnoxious.
You're turning on it, aren't you?
Yeah. But when we did live shows, we started with a song And we had to really drill ourselves to not get it wrong.
Yeah.
And we had a line or two each.
Tell you something, yeah, you bloody well with that?
It still gets in my mind now, though. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I've got it in my head. and that's the same.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway.
There we are.
Emails. Vish, you got one, haven't you?
I do. I have one from Jackson. Thank you for emailing in, Jackson. No surname. Could be a surname, actually. Listening to your jellyfish sting chat, I was reminded of an incident a few months back. While surfing at home, I was struck just above the knee by something the size of a soccer ball.
Ooh.
Where I was hit began to throb and swell immediately, and I headed to the shore to inspect the damage. A jellyfish had managed to kiss me. I was able to take my wetsuit down to my waist, cup it over the sting, and casually aim a wee at the affected area. I was able to let the urine pool... I was able to let the urine pool for a minute or two, and I was back at it.
So it worked.
Why are you sending us this?
No, I thought
we don't need to know about urine pools.
No, I think it's important because if anybody, we have an international fan base.
Exactly,
Vish. Okay?
Well, someone said earlier in the week that it's weird and it doesn't help.
Yeah, well Jules and Jackson are saying it does.
Can I also say I've underestimated the percentage of our listenership that have been stung by jellyfish?
I know what they're playing at.
I've been stung by a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll blame lockdown for the jelly part.
Just a little nasty nip.
Be a withering put down.
Yeah, you have to piss on the jellyfish to get rid of it.
Do not piss on me. If you're listening, do not piss on me.
Change your tune. Oh, anyway.
At least not until we've got the stuff down on the floor.
If you want to get in touch, it's show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble.
Or if you want to send an alternative email jingle, please do that.
Call to arms for that. Yeah.
Don't do that.
I'm going to
stand up for the email jingle.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
You still voted down 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In this room.
I'll piss on all of you.
Yeah, enough. Come on, see?
Right, let's get back
to it. It doesn't work if you do it. You're the jellyfish.
Imagine that. Maybe like the jellyfish piss.
Jellyfish
is like the ultimate piss.
I see what you mean, yeah. Oh, well, it's not. We don't want to do any studies into that.
No.
Not today, anyway. Gentlemen, back to the Premier League. Leicester City are hosting Sheffield United on Sunday. There are reports today, at the time of recording, that Chris Wilder is set to leave Sheffield United today.
Yeah, this morning, right?
Yeah, at the time of recording, that's all we've got. At least we've got that.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that's more than we normally have. Wilder must be a fan of the show, so he's leaked. Look, for the Ramble Boys' sake, you know, let's put that out. Yeah. So by the time this is out, Chris Wilder may have left Sheffield United, which would be huge. He's the type of manager, Luke. You think to yourself, well, he'd be there even if they go down. He'd be there trying to get them back up and so on. I mean,
well, on one hand, it makes me wonder what's been going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened, we should say.
No, but the Times are reporting it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's being reported in reputable outlets. But on one hand, it makes you think of something been going on behind the scenes. On the other hand, I think we've kind of been seduced into forgetting how bad Sheffield United actually have been historically because of everything else that's been going on. And I suppose maybe...
When you say historically, you mean this season?
No, because if you set it in historical context, it's still really bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not be the worst ever, but it's still bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you think, okay, we've got to do something. Maybe the ownership thinks we've got to do something here. Or something else has gone on behind the scenes which they found unacceptable. We don't know that.
No.
The news has just broken, but they've been absolutely terrible.
Well, they have. I think one can sort of skirt over that. I mean, they've not been getting hammered every week, but I mean, they've been losing by the odd goal here and there, but they've still been losing, Vish. I mean, their table doesn't lie.
It does not lie. And for that reason, I think this is all the more foolish if he is being sacked and there hasn't been anything untoward behind the scenes, because they're at least 12 points adrift at the bottom, because I think the two people outside the relegation zone have a game in hand as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bear in mind what they did last season and the way they've been playing their football. I think anyone who's watched them, I know, you know, it's quite easy to say they've been unlucky, but you watch them, there's clearly something there which they've been able to work on over a few seasons, which they just aren't getting totally right, but there's still a lot of the component parts there. And I was of a mind thinking that, well, I mean, a new manager coming in now isn't going to suddenly,
no.
You know, he's not going to, you know, save them. And you'd have wondered, why not just wait till the end of the season if you're going to get rid of him? Why not just let him take it right to the end, then decide if he's the man to get you promoted back again or if you just need a change of direction? And for that reason, I'm of a mind to agree with Luke here that clearly something has happened. We've noticed him being quite tetchy in his press conferences recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost that cheekiness, I think, he had that charisma that a lot of people warmed to last year. And I suppose it's all well and good having charisma when you're doing well. It's when it's going badly that people are going to really see the measure of you. So, something has clearly happened here. It's unfortunate because they were a breath of fresh air last year. But as Luke said, this has been quite a catastrophic campaign for them so far. And
they're currently tracking to be probably the fourth or fifth worst team in Premier League history. Yeah.
Well, there you are.
They've already got more points than Derby and Sunderland, but they're on level on the third worst team, which was Huddersfield a couple of seasons ago.
So, but Derby got 11 points, is that right?
They did.
Yeah. So any manager going to the Premier League, what's your target? 40 points, 12 points. Yeah, it just doesn't. You're not going to have that.
But it's not going to be anywhere near 40 this year.
Well, of course not.
It's probably going to be.
Might not be near 30 for crying out loud.
It probably would be around 32-ish, I reckon.
Oh, you mean to survive? Stay up. I see. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the projecting Sheffield United.
No. Oh, Sheffield United, I think, like I said, they'll probably track to get the fifth or sixth worst in history, which would be about 19 points.
Yeah. Well, the under-23s boss, Paul Heckenbottom, pleasing to say, is set to take charge of their game against Leicester this Sunday, of course. Turning our attentions to Leicester, gentlemen. Now, you remember a few years ago when Jamie Vardy talked about his sort of pre-match routine where he just drink a lot of Red Bull. Omelettes, I think, were a big thing.
Yeah, omelettes were big.
Uh-huh. Skills in vodka, but I think that was as a treat, not a pre-match sort of thing. Well, Richie Delatt, the ex-Leicester defender, has revealed that Jamie Vardy's pre-match routine, it's what you'd expect, he said. The night before a game, Jamie drinks pints and only eats pizza.
King.
Didn't say pints. I mean, it's working for him.
Yeah.
You can't deny.
Could he be even better if he wasn't doing that?
Well, the thing is with pizza, there's a lot of carb there, and that could be considered carb loading, I suppose.
Well, so...
Because they eat pizza straight after a game.
They do. Well, this is what I was going to say.
But he's getting it mixed up. Yeah. and it leads me to believe that maybe actually he's getting it right and everyone else is getting it mixed up.
But I think with that... Am I remembering this right? Because when he broke Van Nistelrooy's record, it was during that spell where he was playing kind of three games in an eight-day stint. You know, he was playing like Saturday, midweek, Sunday. Yeah. And so, as you said, you know, pizza is one of those foods where, because it has so many carbs and people like eating it, they like giving it to players immediately after they've played games, so they can take on those nutrients.
At Ferguson's
exactly. Have some. Yeah. Yeah. You have
it.
Some as well.
You need a carb load as well.
Yeah.
A carb load in your face.
I wonder if that... I mean, I can't explain the pints, but maybe that's the pizza bit.
Could be pints of water.
Well, is that partly why we like Jamie Vardy? Because he's a bit anachronistic?
It's a complete anomaly.
Yeah, character in the game still.
I think it's why we overlook some of the unsavoury bits of him, maybe.
I don't think we do. I think we've already...
We've always
kind of mentioned that.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I think generally that's why, you know, people... I think stories like this help people forget about the...
Are you referring to recently when there was a camera in the tunnel and I can't remember who Leicester were playing and Kasper Schmeichel turned around to an opposition player who was a Danish player, I forget who it was, and they started talking in Danish to each other and then he turned around and Jamie Vardy looked at him and went, "Oh, Danish, mates!"
I think that's a season old, isn't it? Yeah.
Is that a season old? Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Great stuff.
The thing is, though, he is like, he just kicks the door open and he just does what he wants. Yeah. He's got a Premier League winner's medal. He's, you know, individual accolades. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Well, the last thing Sheffield United want is a pizzaed up Jamie Vardy running at the back line, but that looks like
that's what they are going to get.
That's what they're going to get. The day before that, on the Saturday, Leeds face Chelsea. The Flash Cockneys beat the Yorkshire Grit 3-1 back in December to take them top of the league. I can't even get to that. Oh, dear. It was Bielsa's 1,000th day in charge of Leeds yesterday. Who would have thought he'd have got that long?
Yeah.
Not Lazio fans.
No,
certainly. But he said, "I don't think I have triumphed in this job. I think the word triumph is something that evades me." It's very modest, but Leeds fans would call
it. It's very, very sad, though, isn't it? It's a man kind of continually going through life thinking he'll never be happy.
But he said that kind of stuff before. He said,
I'm not
someone you associate with trophies and stuff. But actually, in this case, if you asked Leeds fans what success would look like, delivering us back to the Premier League and keeping us there would be on the top of the list.
There's not been one moment to talk, as far as I'm aware, of relegation with Leeds this season.
No, there hasn't. And then nor will there be.
Up they go. Yeah. Established side and a huge platform to build on. 100%. I mean, that is a triumph for me. But I mean, Bielsa is one of those guys who he's never quite happy, and he would be a bit like, was it Alexander the Great, who, you know, when he realised there was no more worlds to conquer, he was really sad. You know, that would be Bielsa, wouldn't it? That is...
I know what you mean. And I said that they'd finish top 10 this season. They really annoy me because they keep sticking around 11th.
Yeah.
They're 3 points off it.
You're going to look like a right mug.
It's not the only reason.
Nah.
But there's no way, obviously, there's no way they're going to get relegated now, but they always look like they'd have enough to stay up because the system is so strong and the players believe in it so much. They've got such conviction, which does count for a lot.
And it's entertained us neutrals no end.
It has.
And we appreciate that greatly. What about Chelsea, though? They're obviously a lot better. In terms of entertainment, though, they're getting results, but they're not scoring too many goals, Vish. Would you like them to up that ante a little bit?
No, get relegated. Get relegated, Chelsea.
Seems unlikely this season.
It does a little bit, yeah. Don't turn up to a game. Get some points deductions. I am very much looking forward to this game because I don't think you
professional journalist. Yeah. You should enter after that. Yeah. When are you going back to Stamford Bridge to cover a game? Oh, you're the little punk who wants to...
Oh, no.
You're dressful in Chelsea, like a full club shop kit.
You've enjoyed the buffet at Chelsea.
You know what? I think I've only done it once because then fucking COVID happened, didn't it? I'm quite...
You're the real victim of COVID.
I know, yeah. Where will I eat? I don't think you're going to get two managers who are so different on a touchline with Tuchel and Bielsa, because Bielsa kind of just stays sat down on his little bucket.
Or on his haunches.
Yeah, or on his haunches,
His Achilles heels must be tight.
For me, it's the knees.
Yeah.
Knees with a lot of pressure on knees at that age.
He must need the physio to really kind of get those knots out.
Yeah, I would love to see him kind of breaking it down to Dutty Wine, because I reckon he can get quite low indeed. Yes. I mean, we've seen it, can't we?
Are you suggesting Marcelo Bielsa can dance well to reggae of dancing?
Reggaeton, anything. Yeah. Yeah, I reckon get him out of Carnival. Actually,
We need to get out of this restriction as soon as possible so we can see the video footage of their end of season party.
Yeah, I want to see Marcelo Bielsa dip it low.
Bit of cumbia, is it? Dip it low.
Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
I'm thinking gasoline.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know any cumbia songs. I think Carlos Tevez did a cumbia track, which I think cumbia is like a bit more Argentinian, I think, off the top of my head.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, I want him to go, but like proper into like the depths of Caribbean.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, really good. Because, I mean, he's got the minerals.
He does.
But basically, yeah, you've got him, who's kind of very chilled, and you've got Tuchel, who is like a madman. He's like, he shouts at himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It must be so unsettling. You're looking at the touchline.
Do you think that's what he did when he hooked Callum Hudson-Odoi? When he brought him on and took him off, he's like, "You idiot, Thomas! Why did I bring him on?" Yeah. Hudson-Odoi's looking over, going, "Oh no, he's slagging him off, but he's really slagging me off."
Yeah.
I'd like to mention Ken Bates, if I may.
Why on earth are you mentioning Ken Bates?
He's owned Leeds and Chelsea.
Yeah, right.
And this week, he said there should be a ban on foreign ownership in the Premier League, despite having sold Chelsea to Roman Abramovich and Leeds to a Bahrainian owner.
Kenny B,
I've done it now, so stop it, everyone.
I've made my money. Drawbridge up. Ken Bates there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and also you don't hear Ken Bates very much.
Yeah, good.
These days.
I mean, I genuinely thought he was dead, so that is nice.
Yeah, but he's a guy who, a friend of the show.
No, that's David Meller.
Oh, that is Meller. God, blimey.
How do you even know what he's going to say?
A friend of the show, who will remain nameless, said that he was once in the same space as Ken Bates, shall we say. And of course, he was acting in a certain way, which could have been perceived as quite demanding and bloody rude. And there was an old woman who he reckoned was maybe some sort of employee, was walking after him in his wake, just going, "That's Ken Bates, you know, that's Ken Bates, everybody."
Yeah.
Basically sort of justifying.
Is that why they call you the Ken Bates of the Ramble?
I think so. And Vicious is the little old lady who runs after me. That's Marcus Christopher Speller, that is.
You are, of course, much wealthier than Ken.
Yeah.
Well, because I sold everything to a foreign owner.
Yeah. All right.
There we go.
It must be now, after all that time, for Betway's 4 to score, after all that nonsense. Entry is, of course, absolutely free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. But make sure those selections are submitted before the first game, and further T's and C's apply. Game one is our brave boy, the bravest of all the boys.
Oh, yeah.
He brought it home. Brought home the bacon last week.
In a bucket.
No, we need... We need everybody to bring it home.
We do. But you started us off well last week. No goal scorer pick.
I had the easiest prediction of all time.
They could still be playing now.
Newcastle and West Brom were never going to score. No. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. I couldn't believe my luck.
So you're on the first leg of our 4x100 metre relay. Yeah. Southampton v Brighton. Mm-hmm. Who have you gone for?
It's a South Coast derby, of course. Yes. And Dings is injured. Brighton, I don't fancy Brighton too much in front of goal. So I thought it's got to be Southampton, because even against Man City, they scored two goals. One of the goal scorers was Che Adams. I think that he is their main goal threat in this game. I'm going to go for Che Guevara Adams.
Yeah. Is that his full name?
Sadly not.
He needs to step up, Che. Yeah. He's got all the tools to succeed at the top level, as we've said before. Quite a streaky player, though. So fingers crossed he can do the business for you, Marcus. Game number two is Leicester City v Sheffield United. And it's Vish.
I'm going for form on this. So I'm going for Kelechi Iheanacho. Enjoying that kind of slightly withdrawn role in the goals.
No Vards?
Bring it home. Nah. No chance. Oh. Kelechi.
No chance.
I mean, not that.
Premier League's most prolific goal scorer. He's got no chance. Please, you're not a scout.
Kelechi.
Okay, fair enough. No, it's your pick. That's okay. Game number three is the big North London derby. We could have gone Jim for the Arsenal connection. Yeah. But instead, we've gone for Kate. And here's who she chose.
This is such a difficult one because obviously you're supposed to bet against yourself, aren't you? So then you don't feel so bad when it all turns out wrong. So I should probably pick like David Luiz or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang at the very least. But I'm not going to. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to go with top scorer in the North London derby, Harry Kane.
Harry Kane. A textbook message from Kate ending with Harry Kane. Mm-hmm. Could have just said Harry Kane.
Yeah.
It's always going to happen. Game number four, Man United v West Ham. Now,
here we go.
Now, back in the day, Vish, right? Pull up a chair, because back in the day, pin your ears back, big boy. Mm-hmm. I picked John Stones.
Yeah.
And it came off. I've had no success since, but I can't get the idea out of my mind that I need to go off piece a little bit. Mm. And so, for my Man United v West Ham pick, I've gone for Thomas Suchet.
I think that's fine.
Good choice.
He's been among the goals, and you're right. It's never, with this four to score, it's never like the four obvious ones in the games.
Yeah. So which I think, is why he hasn't picked Vardy.
Exactly. No, but he still picked a striker, though.
True.
Suchet scored against United in the West Ham home leg.
Yeah. That's my thinking. Home leg.
Yeah, I don't know why I said leg.
Who's going to go through? Find out.
I'll tell you something, though.
We've got three away goals.
We've never got to a stage where we're on for it on the last.
But we could be this
game.
Week.
Our best is 2 out of 4.
It could be this week.
This feels good.
Yeah.
About this feels good.
I think we've got it.
All right. Thomas Suchet, I mean, he's been among the goals. Not very recently, but he has scored a few this season. So Che Adams, Kelechi Iheanacho, Harry Kane and Thomas Suchet are our picks for four to score. You can go and play as well, as long as you're over the age of 18. It's completely free. Just search Betway's four to score. But do gamble responsibly, and further T's and C's apply. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. And for further information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. All right, everyone. Stop whatever it is you're doing. Get the fire in your belly, light the fire, and stick your head in the freezer, because it's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed. It's time for Luke's game.
Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
Yeah, Vish v Marcus. It's not a non-title bout.
Yeah.
And he's having...
You got fucking rinsed the other day, didn't you?
Oh, look. Washington Generals have turned up, haven't they?
Pipe it up. Yeah. We'll see how he gets on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't mind. He wiped the floor with you, didn't he? Was it 5-0?
3-2 was the last one.
What was the one before?
5-0 before that.
5-0.
But you're improving week on week.
I think so.
Marcus had his time in the sun.
Yeah.
And he's now having his time in the sun.
Exactly.
Will yours come this week?
No, never. No, almost certainly not. Brassel's never losing that, is he?
He did. I took it off him before.
Kate's beaten him before.
Even Kate has, yeah.
He overthinks things.
Maybe Kate took it off him.
You've definitely beaten him.
I have defended it, the title against Brassel, a couple of times.
It is the finest quiz game on football podcasting in the North London area.
Oh, definitely.
On a Friday. let's just get on with it. Let's just enjoy it.
Hey, let's enjoy it.
My algorithm has told me that Vish is up first.
Oh, is he?
This time.
Vish to serve.
Yeah, Vish to serve. Everyone knows how to play, but if you don't, you'll pick it up very quickly. The first player, Vish, has played for 7 clubs. Nice to see you put your laptop away. Respectful for the game. Mm-hmm. He gets a bad reputation, mostly of his own doing.
Yeah.
But as soon as he hears the jingle, laptop goes away. Nice to see.
Pen and paper there.
Respecting the game.
Uh-huh.
That's not a pen and paper. That's a footballing encyclopedia.
Rothmans.
Yeah. Right. The first player retired in 2002, but he'll be familiar to everyone in this room and everyone listening at home for his managerial career as well, if you're a bit younger. Oh. 7 clubs in total. It's Mark Hughes.
Hughesy.
Mark Hughes.
Oh, dear. Marky Hughes.
Sparky. He of the volley. He of the bicycle kick. But what kits can you imagine him in your mind's eye doing bicycle kicks in?
That is a good question.
Can I have an opening bid? You want the key for people who don't know the game very well, the key is with your opening bid, if you don't know all of them, of course, mm-hmm. is to get right in that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And what's the sweet spot for Mark Hughes, Vish? Are you going to give us it?
I'm going to go 4.
I think it's that. I think that is the sweet spot. But Marcus, you might better tell me I'm wrong. Do I hear higher than 4?
I'm going to go 6.
Oh, that is nice.
Rascal. Yeah, do it.
You don't want 7?
No.
Okay, you want 6?
Well, I thought if I go 5, he might go 6. So I thought I'm going to... Yeah. I did this with Andy the other week when he hammered me.
It didn't work.
All right, go on then.
6. Okay, one at a time, please. The clubs that Mark Hughes has played for, if you don't mind.
Manchester United.
That's obviously correct.
Chelsea.
Yes.
Southampton.
Indeed. That's 3.
Bayern.
Very nice. Mm. Spent time on loan there in 1987. 4.
Barcelona.
Of course. 5. You're 1 away.
Now, this is the one I'm not sure of, but I'm going to go for it. Everton.
It's good.
Get in there. Everton, wow.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
I can assure you, everyone listening, he's not cheating. But that's not
the 5 I had, and I was surprised. I thought you might go 5, but then Bayern one can forget.
Yeah,
and
I thought,
is it Everton? And I thought, if I go 5, and then you suddenly go, actually, I'll go 6, then I.
Well, he had 2 stints at Manchester United.
Yeah.
And the club you didn't mention was Blackburn Rovers. Very endless.
I had Blackburn, yeah.
Did you know what? That's so funny,
league,
isn't it?
There was a League Cup final where he kicked the shit out of Darren Anderson.
Oh, of course! Yeah. Bloody hell!
Anyway, there we go.
I'm gutted I didn't do all 7.
Well, you should
like David Moyes. Disappointed with that.
You shouldn't be, because you won up, and that is a big statement of intent.
That's good, though.
A big statement of intent. Chris Waddle last week was very good. Alan Boxich was great.
Still going on about Alan Boxich.
Sheringham? That was good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but I've dropped the ball so many other times.
You have. You're about to probably do it as well now.
Yeah. Who did I get mixed up? Sol Bamba with Christopher Samba.
And
James Beattie with...
You did another one as well. You got Mikel Forsell with Matej Vidra as well.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Streaky player.
Yeah. Next up is Matej Vidra. No, I'm joking.
Cool.
Next up, 9 clubs in total. Still playing.
9.
Still playing. You can still find him on a football pitch near you. Well, probably not that near you.
Uh-huh.
It's Victor Moses. 9 clubs in total. Victor Moses, Marcus, you're up first to try and increase your lead.
Vicky Mo.
Yeah.
9 whole clubs.
What are we here? What are we thinking? What's the slot? I thought the slot was Reek's last one, but it obviously wasn't. You blew him out of the water.
What is the slot?
I think this is tricky. I think he's a player that everyone knows.
Yeah, Jesus.
You pick him out of a lineup. Mm-hmm. You imagine him playing. He's been around the game for a long time, but it's very, very difficult, I think. Much more difficult than you think.
I'll go 4.
4. Vish, do I have more than 4 from you?
I'm going to go 5.
Nice. Do I hear 6, Marcus?
No, I do. Let him do 5.
Okay, so Vish, 5 clubs that Victor Moses has played for. In any order you like, no repetition, no wrong answers. Take it away.
Crystal Palace.
Start of his career there.
Wigan Athletic.
Move straight there.
Well played.
Chelsea.
Yeah. That's 3.
Internazionale.
Some time on loan there last year. That's 4.
Now then.
Yeah, see, I was very confident with my 4. Although you actually said one that I didn't have in the 4.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to...
Go on, have a go.
Bursaspor.
That was a surprise. You meant Stoke City, I think.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't have Stoke.
Well, he played for Fenerbahce. So
Fenerbahce, right.
Could be the link.
Oh, fair play. I thought
Turkish team. I thought... I can't see him at Galatasaray Fenerbahce in my head. So
you've got
like,
a mountain to climb now. So he started his career at Crystal Palace, then Wigan, then Chelsea, Liverpool on loan.
Gordon Bennett!
Stoke City on loan, West Ham on loan.
Do you know what?
I didn't know that.
West Ham, I thought I played conservative though. I should have gone.
Fenerbahce, as I've mentioned, Inter, as you mentioned, and he's currently at Spartak Moscow.
Was he really?
That's 2-0 to Marcus, and he's up first this time.
No, he's not.
Sorry, Vish is up first this time. I do forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 6 clubs. Okay, you need to. You really need to get this. Yeah. Otherwise, you've been defeated. City club, he's familiar to millions, so it's not going to be a difficult player to kind of ascertain. But he is Andrea Pirlo. Discussed at length on yesterday's episode.
Mm.
Andrea Pirlo has played for 6 clubs in total. How many of them, Vish, can you name?
I am going to go for 5.
Oh, Marcus's face has dropped.
I'm very impressed with that.
You're going to go.
Wait.
I'm going to ask him to do his 5 because, yeah. Yeah, I do your 5.
Okay. One at a time, please, Vish. If you get one wrong move here, you're out.
Milan.
That's 1.
Inter.
Yeah, that's 2.
Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3, but that's still a long way to go here.
New York City.
Correct.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Need one more from you.
Sampdoria? No. No!
Marcus Speller wins!
Brescia?
He started his career at Brescia.
No, I was going to say that as well!
Reggiana?
Reggiana's the other one.
Ah, I could have done all 6!
Could have done them. It doesn't matter, though, because you won.
Do you know what,
anyway,
though? See, I played the player rather than the occasion. I thought to myself, you know what? I don't think Vish is
too punchy.
Too punchy.
The thing I thought about Brescia was like, am I getting that confused with Roberto Baggio?
Yeah. No, there is that. I was so annoyed. I could have had all 6.
Doesn't matter. You still won.
Yeah, I know. Again, David Moyes.
Player number 4, you'd have been up first.
Yeah.
This player's played for 7 clubs. We haven't done him since the modern iteration of the game, mm-hmm. so don't worry about it. It's Jermaine Defoe.
Jermaine Defoe?
How many of his 7 could you name? We always do. We always play out the 5 players because I think the listeners enjoy having a go themselves. So
I think I can do all 7.
Go for it. But Vish, you can't come back if he's going all 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
West Ham.
Hang on. Be button ready. Yeah, that's correct.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Correct.
Rangers.
That's 3.
Toronto.
4.
Bournemouth.
5.
Sunderland.
6.
Portsmouth.
7. I said 7, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say West Ham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started off with
them. Well played. Look, so many of them, I got confused. Very good. Yeah. And Vish, you'd have been up first for the final player to make it 4-1. So a bit of face, a bit embarrassing after the start of the game.
you got hammered the other week, didn't you?
Yeah. 6 third teams in total. It's Robbie Savage.
6.
Yes.
Robbie Savage.
Save a bit of face here.
6 Robbie Savage teams.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 4.
Marcus?
Come
on, get your foot on his throat.
No, let him do 4.
Go for it.
Blackburn Rovers, Birmingham City, Derby County, Manchester United. Did he not play for them?
It's a whitewash, ladies and gentlemen.
Didn't make a professional appearance for Manchester United, I'm afraid, but he doesn't like to talk about it, so I'm too confused. Your correct answers would have been Crewe, Leicester, Birmingham, Blackburn, Derby,
Leicester,
and Brighton.
Oh, Brighton, I forget that.
Yeah. He also had an appearance at Stockport Town, but they're non-professional.
Can I say, I think that's the first time I've ever whitewashed someone.
Well done. Well, in that case, let's just really hit it home and give
Marcus
it some of that one.
Speller wins!
See your outro at the top of this.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's, as I said at the start, it's always good to see the Washington Generals turn up. All right? Thank you very much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the football this weekend. Of course, we're back on Monday. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you for Tushin Handaraj.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.